Rabbi David Eisenberg.
Okay. Okay, Rabbi Say, this morning I'd like to, again we were discussing working, not working, doesn't really matter, does it? Does it work? No, it doesn't matter. Shall I wait for you? Let's try again. Working now? Yeah, that works. Okay, Rabbi said, this morning I'd like to discuss a bit more about the halachas of kashrus, as we've already done in the last two shiurim, and I'd like to move on to two other problems. The question is going to be if we're going to make it through these two problems or not. I think we're going to make it through only one of the problems reality, but let's wait and see how we get on. And that is washing up issues. One of the biggest problems and one of the questions most often asked are questions such as, I was washing up and I found a fleshik knife in my milchik sink. I was looking into my cutlery drawer and I found a fleshik knife in my milchik cutlery drawer, or a milchik knife in my fleshik cutlery drawer. It could be one way or the other. It's not important which way around it goes. I put stuff into the dishwasher, and then afterwards when I took it out of the dishwasher, I realized, wait a minute, there are some things in there that were fleishik and some things in there that were milchik. What do we do now? What's the halacha of the sink? What's the halacha of the rest of the dishes? What's the halacha of the dishwasher in this case? You get into all sorts of issues and all sorts of problems, and therefore I'd like to see if we can go through that and we can get a better understanding of that. We're getting to everything, we'll go through all the different issues, Mr. Mankoff, we will get there. Okay, right. Let's start with the following, and maybe we'll work our way backwards. The Ramos says, in the end of Simon Tzadik Hei, Sif Gimel, he says the following Loshen. V'im nimtza ka'orach ha'leves, if you find a milchiger bowl, ben clay bosser, amongst fleshiger pots, lo'ichashir Hashem hotchum b'yachah b'nech shenei sarim, we're not worried that they're going to be washed together in a way that would make everything osur. So we see already that there's almost a default position over here in the Ramah that if things will go wrong, they will not go wrong that badly, and we're not too worried about it. So the question is, let's try and figure out what can go wrong. Let's try and figure out where the pitfalls are, where we can get out of things, where the kulas are. And as in all things, and specifically in kashrus, many questions are going to be multiple questions. So there'll be a question, what kind of keli was it? There's a question, was it hot? There's a question, was it benyoyme? There's a question, was it dirty? There's a question, was there any other tsirufim? And only when you take the whole picture into account, very often you will find that in order to say that something is osur, you would have to go ahead and you would have to be mitzarif all sorts of shittas. And because of that, in general, we're going to come out lekula, which is exactly what the Ramah is telling you already beforehand, or at the end of this, but we're saying it before, that there'll be lots of kulas to be working with, and therefore it's more likely than not that your dishes will be okay. So let's make our way through it. It's actually interesting, the Ramah starts off with the question of not by not before he gets into any other question. And it's interesting that it starts with not by not. We'll work away the other, or Shulchan Aruch works that way. Because Shulchan Aruch is talking about in the Siman. If you remember last time we spoke about not by not, the second flavor that comes out, so any type of pot that you had, let's say you had a pot, you cooked meat in it, cleaned out the pot. Again, pot has to be clean, otherwise it's not by not. You're not dealing with that, but rather you'd be dealing with real dirt, real grime that is fleshix, but you've cleaned out the pot, and then you've cooked something else in it. The taste that gets spit out by that pot into the next food that you're going to cook in it, that is a second level taste. There's been one level of taste gone from the food into the pot, another level of taste has gone from the pot back into the food. That is not nois and tam, bar nois and tam, not by not. That's how we're going to describe it. Again, I'm going to say the word not, and I'm going to say nois and tam, because otherwise it's going to get confusing between the two different words. So, as a continuation of the other sefim, the Shulchan Aruch actually speaks about nois and tam by nois and tam, but we're going to work our way the other way around, and we're going to assume, in general, when you wash up dishes, what's the first thing that you can assume about them? They are dirty. Yeah, I know there are some women, and I always find it interesting, there are some women that take the dishes, they wash them, and then put them in the dishwasher. You always think to yourself, that's what the dishwasher is for. And if your dishwasher is just there to give them a last rinse, once you've already spent 20 minutes washing them, spend another 5 minutes and you put them away and they're fully washed. You know what? You wash them and say, nope, now I'm finished, now it goes in the dishwasher. Okay? Like, you know, you have to clean them first. But be that as it may, in general, we're going to assume that dishes are dirty. Most dishes will have some sort of residue stuck to them. Very rarely are you going to have dishes that don't have residue on them. Okay? That's number one. The next question we're going to discuss is, as Mr. Mankov said, is the heat that comes over here. And it's very important to distinguish, and even the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramar distinguish between this already. And the way the Shulchan Aruch brings it over here, and this is very important, he says, Ke'arei shel basar, fleishi gepots, shehutchu, that got washed, b'yoyruch ha'leves. What used to happen was, is you used to take a very large pot, vat, used to put it on the fire and boil up the water in it. We didn't have in those days, you didn't have running hot water. It's a tremendous invention that we have, Baruch Hashem, we have hot water, we have kombi boilers, you turn on the hot water tap and it comes. But lemaisa, in the olden days, you didn't have hot water. So how would you get hot water? You would get it by boiling up the water. So you would take a very large pot or vat, used to boil up that water inside the pot, and now you had hot water, and you would use that water to go ahead and to wash your dishes. And the Shulchan Aruch is discussing a specific instance where you said, well, I have a very big pot, and this big pot is, my only big pot that I have is milchik. So you have your very big milchik pot, and you've boiled up the water in it, and now you say to yourself, Oive, the only dishes that I have to wash today are actually not milchik dishes, they're fleishik dishes. So here you're dealing with a case of what's called a kli rishon. It's either ala esh or it's not ala esh, that's already a separate discussion. But either way, you have a kli rishon because this is the actual pot that the water has been heated up in. And any time you have the pot that the water has been heated up in, that has the strongest kayach. That has the strongest power to take taste away and to move it into something else. When we deal with a kli sheni, when we deal already with water that has not been heated in this pot, it has been heated in another vessel, and then moved to this pot, we are already one step down. And within kli sheni, I know as far as halachas of Shabbos are concerned, we're still worried, we're still very careful with kli sheni, specifically with kalei abishul, you definitely be careful in the kli sheni. However, when it comes to kashrus, we are not as machmir, and by kli sheni already, you start having a much easier time. Okay? So now, so far we've discussed two things. We've discussed the issue of nat by nat versus dirt, real mamoshus. And we've discussed kli rishon and kli sheni. The next thing to discuss over here is what's known as iri kli rishon. And that will be a more modern shaila. And then I'm going to mention all the different bits and pieces that we need to mention. And then we're going to go back into our shailas and ask the shailas one at a time and look at all of the different factors. The next thing that you have is called iri kli rishon. Iri kli rishon, as many of you will probably know from Hilchos Shabbos, iri means pouring, and kli rishon means pouring out from a kli rishon. So that we said before, we have a kli rishon, you have the first vessel, that was the vessel that the actual hot water was boiled in. And then you have a kli sheni, which would be the vessel that the hot water was transferred to. However, you have what's also called iri kli rishon, which means when you pour from vessel number one, which was on the fire, to vessel number two, that's also an important juncture. And iri kli rishon, any iri is mevashel kidei klipa. It cooks the amount of a klipa, a very, very thin amount. And there's a discussion over here if iri kli rishon is mavlid or mavliya. Is it able to get taste out? It's not able to get taste out. But in general, the assumption is if you're going to be pouring hot water from a kli rishon onto something else, the assumption is that yes, it will move taste around. We will have an exchange of tastes with iri kli rishon. Okay, so far we've had kli rishon, which is the definite issue, kli sheni, which is definitely not an issue, and iri kli rishon. Iri kli rishon is when you're pouring the water out, is a smaller issue. Okay? Now we have one more thing. The Shulchan Aruch in Siv Dalet over here, Siv Tzadikei, Siv Dalet says the following. If you have Yirali, it would seem to me, the Shulchan Aruch saying this, Shim nosnu efer b'mayim chamim, if we put efer, which was ashes, in hot water, shemiyura, and they used to use that to help them clean. This was a cleaning agent that they put into the hot water. Koidim shehinichu akideres, and you put it in before you put the dirty plates in it. Avabisha shuman dovakwem, even if you have real mamoshes of fleshiks or milchiks on it, it's mutter because aideo efu noisen tam nifgam. That's the other thing. We spoke already about not nifgam, noisen tam nifgam, which meant, and you had something and the taste was not fresh anymore, the taste had gone off. We said that within 24 hours a taste would go off, and then the bleus, whatever is swallowed up inside that keli, is not potent anymore. And we're going to come back to that soon also in this halacha over here. However, you also have another way of doing Noisen Tam Nifgam. Noisen Tam Nifgam is not only something that can happen with letting the taste go stale, but if you were to add something that was vile, if you were to add something that didn't taste nice, that was, for whatever reason, not good, it would be Noisen Tam Nifgam. It would make things taste bad. Just mention over here as an aside, as a humorous aside, there are many people that, in order to eat strawberries, will first soak the strawberries in soapy water. Right? There's no halacha to, like, overdo it on the soap. You know? There is, in general, that's the accepted opinion. I don't know enough about the practicalities of toiloim to be able to say that this is correct or is not correct. It is the accepted norm, and therefore that is what we do. Regardless of, you know, if somebody turns around and says to me, I can find a better way around it, okay, you need to go speak to the kashrus authorities and see if your way is more effective or not. However, until such a time, the way strawberries are often infested, and therefore it's very important, you cannot serve strawberries without having checked them first, without having done something to make sure that you get rid of the toloim. So you take the strawberries and you put them in soap, you soak them in soapy water, then you wash them off. So there was somebody that complained, you know, the issue with soaking strawberries in soapy water is what? They taste the soap afterwards, right? You want to go ahead and you want to have strawberries, you don't want to have soapy strawberries. Strawberries with soap is not exactly the most tasty thing. So, in the Hamudia, they have a column called That's an Idea. Right? I'm sure many of us read the ideas and That's an Idea. Some of them are absolute madness and some of them are absolutely brilliant. And there's always discussions. The fellow who writes it, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, very cynical sometimes about a lot of the ideas. But the following idea came in. Somebody wrote in a letter saying, to whom it may concern, please help me with this issue. We have strawberries that are tasting like soap. I don't know how to get around this issue of soapy strawberries. I can't not do this because they're going to be full of toloim, but when I do it, they don't taste nice. What am I supposed to do? So there was a writer who wrote in, I don't know if this was a man or a woman, there's a writer who wrote in, it says, you are in luck. There's a strawberry flavored fairy liquid, that's the one you need to use. I don't know if that was done tongue in cheek or not, if that's a joke or if that's, you know, really true, but I would venture to guess that none of us would drink strawberry, you know, we would use it as a, you know, oh look, cordial. You know, it's just a, it's not, it doesn't taste nice. I don't think strawberry smelling or flavored fairy liquid is going to make your strawberries taste any better. They're still going to taste of soap. We all know soap doesn't taste nice. So, if we go ahead and assume that you're going to take dirty dishes, you're going to stick them into this pot, and the pot is going to be full of soap already, any grime that comes off these dishes is automatically going to be what? It's going to be lifgam. It's going to be disgusting. It's going to be inedible. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, you have another heter that you can work with. So again, let's go through it again. The heterim are, number one, kli rishon, iri kli rishon or kli sheni. You need to know, what are you dealing with? Are you dealing with a real kli rishon where the water's been heated up? You're dealing only with a pouring from a kli rishon, or are you dealing with a kli sheni? Number two, do you have real dirt on the actual keli or not? Number three, I mean, this is, I don't think this would be nagia so much to us, but is the keli not bar not? One of the keli, if they're not bar not, it could be a way out of it also. Number four, do you have soap?
And soap.
Pardon? I don't know if you have to get kosher. Even if the soap is kosher, it still won't make... The point is, it doesn't make it taste nice. And whether the soap is kosher or not, I don't know if you need... I wouldn't have thought you need kosher soap. People are makpid on kosher soap for Pesach. But I think...
You can't get it for Pesach, but you can't get it for
You can get kosher. What? Yeah, you got what's called washing up liquid. Sure, you can get kosher washing up liquid. Pardon? No, no matter for plates for the body nobody's makbid on Pesach to use kosher soap. Some people are makbid not to have stuff with alcohol in it. Soap is not really lucky. Let's go. You'll probably be making on soap, you know, regular soap. However, for washing up liquid, it's sometimes hard to get it. You have to get the more cheaper stuff. And it's not as good. It's much better to be using like Fairy or things like that. They have a much better koyach. Dain Westheim, I think, gives a heksher on it. I'm not sure. Sometimes you can get them kosher Pesach. You cannot get them kosher Pesach. You know, that's something Menachem Dovid and Halperin's have to work out for you. That's not my issue. Okay, so, question number one we need to deal with. Okay, this will be the simplest question. Or not the simplest question, but this is the most frequent question. You are washing up from your tap, and you find inside in a whole bunch of fleishige spoons, you find one milchige knife. Okay? Now what are you going to do with this spoons and with the knife? So here we start off. Remember, you have to ask yourself all the questions. Question number one, water coming out of a tap. What's the halacha of water coming out of a tap? And it says a machlokes. Because the water is coming from where? Where is it going through? It's going through a boiler. And the boiler is heating up the water. And if you have water from a boiler, usually it's quite hot. And then it's going through the pipes of your house. Depending on how near or how far your boiler is to your actual sink, as to how far it has to travel through these pipes. So now you had the water boiled over here, it's been through these pipes, and then it comes out of your tap. The first question you need to ask yourself is that an irui kli rishon? Is that pouring out from a kli rishon because the actual boiler is a kli rishon and the pipes connect you automatically straight back to the boiler, so that's called pouring out from a kli rishon, which will be problematic? Or do we say that the boiler is a kli rishon but the pipes it goes through are already not a kli rishon, they're a kli sheni, and so you will have the water pouring out from the tap is not going to be iri kli rishon, it's going to be iri kli sheni? Does it not? How does it work?
There's a cylinder that's
yes.
radiated inside the cylinder, which
yes.
is hot, that heats the water from the cylinder. The water from the cylinder comes. You never use the water from the boiler itself.
That's the old system.
That's the old system. But the water in the cylinder is mamash aklirishon. That's mamash aklirishon. You have a cylinder, and inside the cylinder you have a heat source. That's a aklirishon. Yeah? That will be a clearishon because and then the question will be the water that goes from that cylinder that moves its way through your pipes to you is the same question. Yeah, so that's the old boilers. That's the old boilers and new boilers. The combi boilers, they heat the water on demand. The combi boilers heat the water on demand. The old boiler systems didn't heat the water on demand. Rather, you had a big boiler. You had to turn it on and let the water boil up. And then you turned it off, and then you'd be able to use all the water that's inside it. Okay? There are lots of issues with Shabbos with either of these two as well. Okay? So now, that is your first question you need to deal with. Okay? What is the water that's coming out of the spout going to be? Question number two, but this question in general you will be able to answer in the positive, is, are the things in the sink dirty? And the answer in general will be, yes. The things in the sink will be dirty because you're washing up, so that you're not going to get away from it. What about the fact that there is soap involved? Can you be soimech on the fact that there is soap involved? So let's read the Shulchan Aruch again, and this is an important Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch said, yearly, it would seem to me, shim nosnu eifer b'mayim chamish b'yura koidem shinichu akideiro is besoicho. Before you put the kideiros in, it would mean that the soap needs to be there prior to the first contact with any water. Because if the soap only comes out with the dishes, but I mean the dishes having contact with the water. The soap's in the water before the dishes had any contact with the water. So that by the time the dishes get into the water, the taste that's come out of the dishes is already in water that is lifgam, and whatever taste is going to be in the water is going to be lifgam. But if you go ahead and you stick a whole bunch of plates in this ura, and then you go, oh, whoops, that's fleshing. Don't worry, let's fix it. Let's pour in some soap. It's already too late. You've already had taste from the fleshing that's come out into this water and maybe gone even into the walls of the milchige keli that you're boiling it in, so there that would be different. So again, here, when you're washing up in your sink, you have an issue that, in general, unless you have a, you know, unless you wash, all different people have different ways of washing up. But if you're going to be washing up all your kalim in one go, let's say you want to wash up all your cutlery, so you put them in one little plastic container and you put soap in the plastic container and you turn on the water. Then the water's coming into the plastic container is already automatically getting soap in it. But if you do it one piece at a time as opposed to putting it into a container, then you might have had contact with the water before you have contact with any other soap. Okay? So that we have over here two reasons why we could be machmer. Number one, the reason would be that you might have an irreclusion. Number two, you don't really have the soap there in order to be able to go ahead and to have a mitigating factor. So how do we make our way out of this? And the way to make our way out of this is a very interesting question that you ask in practicality. It's not a halachic question, it's a practicality question. And that question refers to, did the person who was washing up wear gloves? Okay? Why do we ask the question of the person washing up wear gloves? Very simple. Because even if you were to go ahead and if you were to tell me that the water that is coming out from the tap is from a Kli Rishon, the only way a Kli Rishon will have the kayach to do anything to any other keli, to be maflid and mavliya, to go ahead and to move taste around, is if the water is what? Yatzer lettuce boy. What is the translation of Yatzer lettuce boy? The hand will recoil from the heat of the water. Okay? If you are not wearing gloves, what can you safely assume? That the water is not your lettuce boy. Otherwise, you won't be able to wash your hands. Your hands would have to recoil constantly. Yeah? Right? You can't have water that's hot enough for your hands to recoil and wash in that water without gloves. Yeah? Because if you're washing in that water without gloves, it almost automatically means that your hands won't recoil. Okay? And therefore, there you have another kula. So kula number one will be you're not sure if it's a Kli Rishon or not. Kula number two, if you're not wearing gloves, you are probably not dealing with water that is hot enough to make a difference. And since you're not dealing with water that is hot enough to make a difference, everything in that dish, everything in there will be mutter. Okay? That will be the first case that you could have. Number two. Question of whether you made a mistake in a dishwasher. Here's the next type of question that you could have. What happens if you have a dishwasher and you made a mistake in this dishwasher and you put the wrong type of fork or the wrong type of knife that is dirty into the dishwasher? What is the halacha? So for this, again, it is really important to know, and then I've been told this by a fellow in my shul who deals in kitchens and gave me this information, so I'm taking this information on his behalf. You know, I'm not any, I wouldn't say I'm an expert on dishwashers and things like that, but it seems that this is the way it works. When you have a dishwasher, when you have the water inside the dishwasher, it does not take hot water. What is it? And the dishwasher, how much water does the dishwasher normally use? All these dishwashers, especially nowadays, they're trying to be extra efficient, energy-wise, and water-wise. So I think we recently bought a dishwasher, I think they say the water usage is somewhere between 15 and 20 liters for one entire cycle. Okay? So what happens with this? What happens with that? That's not a lot of water to consider that they're washing all these dishes. What happens with the water? The dishwasher fills with water. It doesn't fill the whole thing with water, but they have an area where the water comes in, and the water gets spritzed around cold at first to wash off the dishes a little bit. Then it comes back into the dishwasher, and the dishwasher has an internal heating system. That internal heating system will start heating up the water. But it will probably take somewhere between 10-20 minutes before the water inside your dishwasher is properly hot and is going to be swirling around and is going to be now throwing hot water on your dishes. By which point, what will have happened inside your dishwasher? The soap will have already come out. I'm not sure exactly how soon or how the soap decides when it comes out or it doesn't come out. The dishwasher must have programs exactly telling the thing to open up and to let the soap out. But the soap comes out, mixes together with the water, and so you've had the water that's gone through a few cycles already of grime and dirt and soap. And only at that point does that water become hot enough to go ahead and to sprinkle it around. So therefore, in a dishwasher as well, you end up having a few coolers to put together. Number one, and you have to see what temperature you went ahead and you wash your dishes at. If you wash your dishes at 35 or even at 40 degrees, then you're still okay, because that's below Yatzalez by the Kulam. When you hit 45, that's when you start, 43, 45, you start hitting certain temperatures where the Paiskim start saying that it's okay. But 35 and 40 is definitely okay. If you're washing your dishes, I think you can wash them also at 60 degrees, you can wash them hotter, then already you're dealing with water that is definitely Yatzalez, because 60 degrees is too hot already. However, it will take the dishwasher too long to get to the 60 degrees for the water to be of any potency to go ahead and to create any issues. And again, going back to what we said, you have your water heating element. So you have your Kli Rishon somewhere inside that dishwasher. And then the water goes through a pipe into the dishwashing arms that spin around and that spit out the water. That might already be not Irui Kli Rishon. It might already be Irui Kli Sheni. So the fact is that you might have an Irui Kli Sheni and that you have water, which the Shulchan Aruch already tells you is not problematic. There also, you will be able to be makel. And when I say you're able to be makel, let's go back to the case of the dishes, and then come back to the dishwasher. When I say you can be makel, what that means is, anytime you say you can be makel, that means there really wasn't any issue. If there wasn't any issue, there's no issue with the fleishige cutlery, there's no issue with the milchige cutlery, and there's no issue with the sink. Right? Because if you really were to create problems, let's say you turn on the hot water and you have a good boiler, and the water is coming out very, very strong and directly hitting these dishes, and you hadn't stuck your hand in, you put your hand in, you recoiled, then already you'd have a big problem, because then already you might have A, trafed up your dishes, B, also trafed up your sink. Then you already have to start asking the Shaila. But it's always important, whenever you're going to ask a Rav Shaila, when it comes to these kind of inyanim and kashas, they will ask you the question, they will start asking you questions. What was the fleishige keli like? What was the milchige keli like? Was it dirty? Was there mamoshes? How was the, you know, how hot was the water? All these questions need to be asked, because there's no one size fits all answer to all of these questions. Okay? That is question number two. Question number three, somebody asked me this question, and there's actually a simple answer to it. And he was, he'd asked me the question. He said, well, maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way. I said, no, you're ignoring one important fact. So the person asked me the question, says, if they have a washing up bowl, so they take hot water and they put in the washing up bowl, and then they realize, and they take in the dishes and they put in the dishes, and they realize that they had put in a milchige dish into their washing up bowl. What will be the halacha now? Oh, sorry, we didn't finish with the dishwasher. Again, with the dishwasher as well, when we said, if we're saying it's mutter, that means that all the dishwasher, as well as all the kelim inside the dishwasher, are 100% mutter. Both the fleishige and the milchige kelim. Because you have enough to be makel, to be soymech, that it's okay. So now, this fellow says to me, they have a washing up bowl. Excuse me. They have a washing up bowl. And in that washing up bowl, they have hot water. They've taken water from the sink, from the tap, and they've turned it on. They filled it up with hot water. And now, instead of wasting water, some people feel very, very bad about wasting water, turning on the hot water and then keeping it going and going and going. You know, if you're washing dishes for half an hour, you could be going through a tremendous amount of water. So they prefer, they take one big good bowl of hot water, they fill up the bowl with hot water, and then they use that bowl to wash up all the dishes. And they can wash 10, 20, 30 dishes in this bowl, and then just throw out the water. So now the water that has already gone into these dishes, let's say it's you're washing up fleishig, and you've done a lot of fleishig dishes, and now you take a dish that's got milchigs in it, it's got lasagna stains or something, you got cheese, and you got all sorts of, you got hard cheese, and you got cottage cheese, you got a real mixture over there, and now you're question is, what should you do? And the fellow starts speaking to me about the heat of the water, and he starts speaking to me about the soap and everything else. But before you get to any of that, what point needs to be made over here? A washing up bowl, by definition, is almost always going to be a keli sheni. Because what is it? Because even if we are to assume that your tap is a keli rishon, even if we assume that, as we said, that's not a straightforward assumption. But let's assume that your tap is a Kli Rishon. You turn on the tap, out of the tap comes the Iri Kli Rishon. It goes into your washing up bowl. In your washing up bowl, the halacha is that that water is all a Kli Sheni. And since that water is all a Kli Sheni, it's pun. Even if it's Yatzalet, that is why we say Kli Sheni is not Mamayom Maflit. The Shulchan Aruch says that the Ramah doesn't seem to make a chiluk of it. The Ramah here says that in a Kli Sheni that you would be, let's find the Ramah. Yeah. Let's have a look. Let's find it. Yes. That's why I can't find. I'm in the wrong Ramah. In the Ramah in Siv Beis, you won't find it because in the Ramah in Siv Gimel. The dafka shehutchu beyachad uvikli rishon. Dafka if they were washed together and they were washed in a kli rishon. Avalim hutchu zeachazef. They were washed one after the other. Oy bekeli sheni, oy in a keli sheni, afilu beyachad hakoil shari. Ramah is not mechalik between Yatzalez and Yatzalez. Well, we all klisheni lalach is not mamilim maflit. So then you will get away with the klisheni as well. Okay. So therefore, the fellow asked me the question: what do? I have a washing up bowl and I've put in dishes, fleshing, milking. What should I do? The answer is klisheni. Don't have to worry about it. Okay. In general, you will have already enough. Usually, when people have a washing up bowl, often they'll put in soap into the bowl as well. So now you have the second kula of the Shulchan Aruch as well, and Siv Dalet, of the soap being nice and tamliv gam. So now you have water that's nice and tamliv gam, together with keli sheni, with those two kulas, you can go ahead and you can keep going. And therefore, pardon? Pardon? Yes. It does, no, because even if you found the lump of cheese on the plate, the point is, you need something that's going to be able to transfer the taste in a way that's going to be meaningful. Since the water is not hot enough, and the water that's going to be transferring the taste is full of soap, therefore the taste that comes from the lump of cheese is not going to be considered good enough to be able to go into the thing. And same with a piece of meat. If you found a piece of meat on the, you know, very often you'll have leftovers, little bits and pieces of meat. Especially when you're dealing with beef as opposed to chicken, you'll find little stringy bits of pieces of meat on the actual plate. Still, that's not going to make an issue.
Very likely it'll be shishim against it as well.
Okay, shishim is a whole different discussion. Shishim is not so partial because in the end of the day, you don't know what you would need shishim keneged what. It depends how big your washing up bowl is. It depends how much is in there. It's not always so simple to go ahead and to say there's shishim. And even let's say there's two things. Shishim is an interesting point. Even if you have shishim against it, which way will the shishim work for you? Only against the shishim of the majority. So let's say you have a fleshig, a washing up bowl, and you have shishim in that place, a very big washing up bowl, and you put in one milchige plate. You'll say, I have 60 times in that washing up bowl and everything else that's fleshig in there, can negate the milchige plate, and therefore what's going to happen? The fleshige plates are not going to get affected. However, the milchige plate will become treif. Because that works both ways. The shishim can only help you to say that the milchigs then turn into fleshigs. But the fleshig stands there with its chest, forward and says, I am fleshig and I'm really fleshig and we are a shishim dik fleshig. And that shishim of the fleshig is not going to come, it's going to make your meat, it's going to make your milchig part.
What I was referring to was a piece of cheese in the water.
Now, if you have a piece of cheese in the water, then again, you might have shishim and can get a piece of cheese in the water. Enochanami, you have shishim and a piece of cheese in the water. But there is that issue which is to be said, that if you're going to go ahead and you're going to make the, we're going to say that we're working with shishim, you could say that the min that has shishim is going to be okay, but the other one is going to get messed up by the shishim that you have over there. Okay, so again, so as we said, we have all these different mistakes. And this is why when the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, if you find something, if you find a keli lying together with other kelim, then in general you can be mekel. In general you can say, you don't have to worry about it. As we said, so you found one milking apart amongst a whole bunch of fleshing parts. They were washed together. It's not sure that we're not choshes, they were washed together. If you found a milchige spoon amongst all your fleshige spoons, chances are that they were washed together. Yeah? That's not what he's saying. The question is, but it's not only that chances are that they were washed together, you have to also have a chance they were washed together in a way that would make them osur. So let's remind ourselves again, you would have to have clear rishon water that had no soap in it prior, and it was washed together in one go with other things that are fleshy. It has to be yatzer lettuce, kli rishon. Yeah, so that is, thank you very much, a very important point as well. So it's not only Kli Rishon, it has to be Kli Rishon, and Yatzer Letters, it has to be the Hanas Rekos, it has to be hard enough for that, and you have to have no soap on it at the moment, because otherwise the soap will take the taste and make it pungent, and it has to be washed basically at the same exact time together with the other min, whether it's Milchik to Fleshik or Fleshik to Milchik. But without having all of those things coming together, it's not going to become Osir. And therefore, in general, whether you're going to be washing up in your sink, where chances are you're not going to be washing up too hot, or you're going to be using soap, or you've got a dishwasher, in which case the water never got hot enough, or you're using a washing up bowl, in which case the water will be a klisheni, in all of these cases, the Rama is saying there's no real issue over here. Obviously, none of this is lechatchila. I'm not telling you now that, well, you know, somebody turned around and says, well, Rabbi Eisenberg stood up and he said that you can go ahead and nothing will come treif. Why do I need a fleshing and a milking a sink? Why do I need to bother with the whole thing? I'll tell my wife from now on, wash everything all together, just don't wear gloves, and we're called to have shalom ha'isol. Yeah? That's not a way of doing things. Obviously, all these things, there are heterium, there are ways of getting around it, there are ways of saying this has not become awesome, we don't have to cash it and we don't have to throw things away. However, to go ahead and to say, well, let's wash milkings and fleshings together because according to what you just said, nothing's going to go wrong anyway, it's wrong to do this lechatchila. Yeah, you should definitely not do this lechatchila. But b'di'evet, as the Rama says, once you know that it has happened, there are enough tzadim. You'll always ask, or if you ask a rav, in general, in most cases, be able to be mekel, unless, as we said, in a very, very extreme case. And that's why the Rama says you won't have an issue. And Baruch Hashem, in general, we don't have any issues. Have a good day. I was saying Kaddish. No Kaddish, yes.
By the time it took it, you had gone already.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Thank you.
I've done my own dishwasher.